Hey everyone, welcome to the very first episode of Shasta Goes to the Movies, brought to you in partnership with Film Club at the University of Houston. I'm your host and press secretary, Rachel, and I'm joined by my co-host and producer, AK, as well as our very first guest and the current president of Film Club at University of Houston, Adrian.
Hey, what's up, Adrian? Hey.
Hi guys, nice to see you guys. As you heard, I am Adrian. I am the current president of Film Club at the University of Houston.
So what's good with y'all?
What's good with you? You've had some stuff happen to you.
So a little bit of an embarrassing story. Mm-hmm. I was filming a TikTok. I learned recently that I can drink a lot of mineral water at once and it does not affect me because mineral water is very spicy.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna make a TikTok of this to show my lack of talent. And I did it. And I like stopped recording and I still had like a mouthful and I could not contain a burp. And I did. And it just, I spewed out Topo Chico all over the kitchen because I had a mouthful of it.
Oh my God.
And then like the idiot I am, I'm gonna redo that. And so I got another bottle and did it again, not even 30 seconds afterwards.
Jesus.
And also I found out before we started recording that it got taken down for violating community guidelines.
What spewing white?
I didn't get that on camera. I redid it a second time.
Uh-huh.
So I had two bottles of Topo Chico all at once.
So spicy mineral water is too spicy for TikTok.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's because it will become a challenge, and there's some people like me who cannot take mineral water. I would not recommend maybe turning it into a challenge. Don't do that.
I was just like, this is my only party trick because I'm talentless.
This is her one talent.
This is my one thing.
And y'all stole it from her with your allergies.
Remind me.
I reposted it. It's okay.
Yeah. Remind me again, how long are TikToks?
15 seconds.
It's your 15 seconds of glory.
Yes.
There you go.
No, I had my 15 seconds of glory when I made a TikTok of the windows in the bathroom at Agnes Hall.
I still love that TikTok. It's
still getting likes.
It has a special place in my heart for being the experience I always get when walking into Agnes and realizing that restroom has windows.
That's nice.
So,
what are we talking about?
I mean, if we're speaking about glory, we're probably going to talk about the hottest announcement. People have stayed up late at night to catch like the new season of Black Mirror.
Hell yeah.
And stuff like that. Like it is a scourge on humanity, Agent.
See, I did not even catch the memo. So when I was browsing Netflix looking for something to watch, I saw that it was up.
Oh wow.
Low key when Bandersnatch was announced, well it wasn't even announced. But like whenever, I remember like a week before it was like released, there was something mysterious on Netflix named Bandersnatch. I was like, maybe it's season 5. Let's go. We haven't heard anything about season 5 aside from Will Poulter and Miley Cyrus. And then it ended up being a game.
Oh.
And I was slightly disappointed, but still excited.
Bandersnatch was the thing I was hearing about when it came to Black. It was like on Hollywood Reporter.
I was on that at midnight.
And Variety and all of those mainstream websites were like, oh my God, the Black Mirror people are making the first video game for Netflix. And all that stuff.
They did it with Puss in Boots first.
They
did it with Puss in Boots.
I had no idea.
Yes. Fake news. They do it with a lot of children's shows on Netflix.
They also got Minecraft story mode?
Yeah. That is correct.
That's crazy.
Yep.
But
I guess they were catching on to it because Telltale was sinking faster than the Titanic. So
I mean, my favorite game on Netflix is Bear Grylls' new show.
Oh my God.
You versus Wild? Oh. Oh,
that was rough. I forced myself to finish that. I did not enjoy it.
You can hurt Bear Grylls. You can hurt him pretty
badly. And him being disappointed in you is it feels terrible.
It feels the worst.
It feels terrible having Bear Grylls tell you you did something wrong.
We restarted the game a few times.
I don't want to get too deeply into Film Club inside jokes, but does Zach's prophecy come true?
Which one?
Oh, him drinking piss?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he eats shit.
Yeah.
Oh. That's awesome. So it took the prophecy and ran with it, apparently.
Yeah. He's upped his game. He's upped his game considerably.
I admire that.
Yeah. It's very admirable.
So Black Mirror.
But going back, this is what I've been hearing entirely is, oh my God, Miley Cyrus can act.
She does really good in that episode.
She's been good at acting. Like, LOL was a terrible movie, but like her Woody Allen, the pedophile guy. Is it Woody Allen? The one who slept with his
I don't think she worked with Woody Allen. I think that was Selena Gomez.
No, Miley did a mini series with him.
I don't follow Woody Allen.
No one follows Woody Allen. No one cares about Woody
Except Justin Timberlake.
Oh, of course. I mean, well, if you're not busy desecrating Prince's memory, what else could you be doing but hanging out with? I'm being hot takey as shit. Like, I'm shitting on Miley. It's shitting on Justin Timberlake.
But, like, I think this could be a good, like, restart on her acting career. It's, like, a good place to start.
Yeah.
Again.
I haven't seen the newest season, but I am a fan of Black Mirror, but Black Mirror does this very specific thing to me where it, like, it genuinely makes me, like, exhausted because it's one part, it's that edge of your seat thing plus the anxiety that you get from half of the shit
being true.
And then it's just so uncomfortable in certain parts, like from the get, like the prime minister who fucks his pig.
Yeah.
From the national anthem.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's from the get.
That's why I'll say the episode is called Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2. It's a fresh take on That's Black Mirror. Like it's a different vibe.
That's why you like it.
Yeah.
It's named after you. Yeah. They named totally. An episode after you.
Totally. Yeah. And it's definitely slightly a love letter to Hannah Montana. Not really a love letter, more like a fuck you letter. But it's definitely got that vibe. But it's really good. It's really good. They could not have picked a better person to play that character than Miley Cyrus. It's really good. It's a fresh take on the vibe of Black Mirror. It takes away the like straight up terror of it. And it's a little more, I don't know.
Eerie?
Yeah, I guess. It reminded me of my hatred for celebrity holograms.
Yeah, when you told me about that, I was like, that is oddly specific. And I don't know where this happens, but if they do it, it is pretty corny.
I have always seen Black Mirror as a sort of, I don't want to call it a prophecy because I know a lot of the things they base it on are trends in technology already.
Yeah.
I think the worst feeling is like, God, I really don't want to live in this universe. And then you realize that you live in the Black Mirror universe.
Yeah, it makes you rethink society and technology. And I for some reason love that.
Yeah, in an appropriate context.
Yes.
Right?
Like for me, the most terrifying episode was I forget the name of it. The one with Bryce Dallas Howard with the social media thing, which it's already a thing, but that terrifies me because I'm antisocial AF.
My the one that really fucked with me is the chip in the head where you can revisit your memories.
A whole memory of you.
The memory of you. Yeah. I'm gonna pull up.
I already did. I don't like talking about stuff without having it in front of me, so
it does it in an appropriate fashion, as in like some of this technology is utilitarian in a way and like really helpful, but on the other hand some of this more frivolous stuff is actually quite fucking dangerous, and like we should distinguish between the two because like all the episodes have a bunch of other tech that exists in that world that aren't particularly harmful. But it's like it zeroes in on things that we could possibly be doing that could be extremely harmful.
Yes. Right? But you know there's somebody that wishes they could put like a hologram of a prisoner in a box and just continue torturing them. And you know there's somebody out there that wants that.
Yeah. I mean, I assume someone in the government already.
Yeah.
Put on your tinfoil hats, kids. Let's discuss government conspiracy theories.
Well, I mean, while we're already on the topic, and not to get this banned in China, but they seriously hit the nail on the head when it came to the episode. I'm forgetting its name.
The Bryce Dallas Howard one.
It's the
Nosedive.
Nosedive. That's correct.
Yeah. That's the one that scares me the most.
Right. Right. There's already a social credit system in China, so it that is a lot more malicious than you could possibly imagine. And like I said, it just hit the nail on the head and prophesized, and not even the sort of a system that keeps people locked down based on their behavior, which is incredibly fascist.
I will say one of the ones that gets crapped on the most that is one of my personal favorites, purely because it's in black and white. That's the main reason people shit on it is
Metalhead.
That scares the shit out of me, but it's so good. And I think because it's so real, because it's based on Boston Dynamics.
Boston Dynamics gets too much heat for all the technology they're coming with, but
it could go wrong so quickly.
I definitely do not believe putting weapons on robots is a good idea, no. But it's, and the creators of Black Mirror agree.
Yeah, but the odd thing is a lot of people think that this stuff is going to happen in the future when a lot of this thing is already happening. Like,
exactly.
Our future is a lot weirder than this. Like they're already looking into ways in the future, like the next 10, 20 years, for us to like get quantum computing, which is like literally like ones and zeros don't exist anymore. You just decide the variable based on the function that you want to do. It's nerdy shit. But
I took one
like it's
computer science class. I have no idea.
Yeah, but it's like teleportation shit. It's like, yeah, we're teleporting electrons at that point. This is the stuff that they're looking at for the future. This stuff in Black Mirror is like happening currently, like self-driving cars, microchips. A lot of this stuff is like already being developed and happening.
I mean, yeah, you said the magic word, quantum computing, when it comes to like computer science. And I'm not even a STEM major, but it's just, like you said, a lot of this technology is very much possible. I think what's more curious about a Black Mirror is not so much the technology, and of course this is of course like the point, but it's not so much the technology and how crazy we can get with it. We don't need to go to Star Trek for it. It's like we have this, it's just how we use this technology. Another episode that really struck me was White Christmas.
That's a popular
that's
one.
That's my personal favorite.
It's
that's
my personal favorite as well.
John Hamm, baby.
John Hamm kills it in that episode.
BT dubs. Like, John Hamm also kills it in Good Omens, and I recommend everyone watch that on Amazon Prime. But it's a new show.
I'm still watching Mad Men.
It's very decent. It's more than decent. It's one of the most creative shows I've seen.
I've seen a lot of advertisements for it, so I think I might just buy into it.
Yeah, I've
seen
so many ads for it.
It's British and cheeky in so many fucking ways.
It's on Prime, right?
Like, yes. Hell is basically an episode of The British Office. Like, that's basically Hell.
That's all you need to say.
That's pretty great.
And not to piss off anyone across the pond, but Hell is Britain, so.
Oh, shit. Oh, by the way, they play on that. They play on that.
Oh,
especially
God.
Especially their highway system. Like, how their roads are all fucked up. They play into that joke.
Our roads are all fucked up.
I was about to say, what's more fucked up than Houston?
Everyone's roads are pretty fucked up. Well, they have roundabouts over there.
True.
You said every Houstonian's magic word, highways.
Road work ahead. I sure hope it does.
Yeah, so I am looking forward to catching up. Because I've missed the season right before Bandersnatch. That's where
season
I kind of...
Season four.
That's kind of where I sat. Thank you. Thank you.
Everyone is looking at their Netflix. And
I forgot to count.
You're missing a love letter to Star Trek.
USS Callister.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I love that episode.
Is it McAllister or Callister?
Callister.
Callister. I really enjoyed that episode for its take on the... I'm trying to find the correct words for it. The gamer culture, where it's the fantasy of it. I think some people take it to extreme, but it's definitely there.
Hashtag ban all gamers, including me. Okay. Ban us off from society. Take us off on a boat. Get rid of all of us. I think society would be better.
I find myself having way too much fun on Civ 6, just kind of going full warmonger. You kind of have to break from that and just say like, wow, I'm a monster in the making. Like, I actually wanted to bring up the question. What is your favorite season? Or no, that's not fair. I'm sorry. Your favorite episode of Black Mirror and why?
White Christmas. It's been a minute since I've watched it.
Everyone's is, Black Christmas. Mine is the your memory. What is it called?
The entire history of you.
Oh, the entire history of you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's memories are a very fucked up thing for me because I have a very very, not to toot my own horn, but I have a pretty decent memory. Like, I remember conversations, I remember situations, I remember stuff like that. But like, it's still like warped because the brain is stupid.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're not getting all the details, and to get it like minute by minute, like, I feel it would like, It would do something fundamental to society that I think.
But it would also ruin so much.
Yeah. You would never be able to get over an argument. You would never be able to get over a fallen friendship. You would never be able to get over anything. Your relationships would always be based on the fact that if I do anything wrong with my friend, that memory will forever be there because they're recording me.
Right.
And then the scariest meta game that happens beyond that is also there's a server that holds all of my memories that someone else has access to or possibly could have access to. And then
and that's where you go when you die.
Would you trust your memories to Google?
Right? Imagine the ads you would get out of your memories.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Especially the algorithm, which doesn't discern what's positive from negative. So you have all these shitty memories of your fucking fupa or whatever the fuck. Or what is the little animal with the big eyes that looks like a bird?
It's on the tip of my tongue. I want to say gremlin, but it's not.
No, no. Fubar?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's that scary 80s toy that is absolutely horrendous.
Imagine a
Furby?
Furby.
Thank you. Imagine Furby fucked up a lot of people's lives.
I had a Furby and it scared the shit out of me. And my sister and I shared a room growing up. And I remember I kept all my toys in our closet. And I remember for some reason, I don't know if it was just stuck on demo mode, but it would go off at the middle of the night.
Oh my God, no.
Out of both of us.
That's not okay.
No.
My roommate has a huge problem with puppets, marionette puppets.
Who doesn't? Those things are terrifying.
It's just too real for him. So, that's why we can never watch Annabelle, for instance, at my house. But yeah, it's all of those possibilities that come out of that one. I think maybe the first episode of Black Mirror, the pig fucking one, is
the national anthem.
Yeah. I'll call it the pig fucking one. I call it the, what's the name of the former Prime Minister of England?
You're taking David Cameron?
David Cameron?
Before Theresa May?
Before Theresa May.
That's David Cameron. David Cameron.
Yeah, David Cameron. Did y'all hear the story that when he was in college to get initiated into his fraternity?
He fucked a pig?
He fucked a pig's head.
I heard something about it actually happening, but I didn't know the context of that. I just heard somebody say it actually happened.
He had to enter a society or a fraternity in his university, and a part of his pledge is to get fellatio from a severed pig's head.
Jesus Christ.
You see, I think the point of that episode is that, if Trump was held hostage tomorrow and was told he needed to fuck a pig, we would all watch, right?
would. If it was somebody that everybody hated, they would.
Well, no, not even that everyone hated, just a public figure like that. I'm trying to think of who would probably... Oprah is probably the most well thought of.
My one issue with that episode is...
She would just give them money.
Maybe that happened 6 years ago where people thought that if we put something truly disgusting on television, no one would watch it. But the idea in that episode that just do it. No one is going to watch that happen. When it's do you ever expect in 2019, 2020, that if you put anything that fucking grotesque on television, not every single human being would watch it?
You know, I forget when that episode came out, but you just know.
2013?
Was it 2013? You just know that 6 years later, we all understand ourselves and our relationship to this kind of media a bit better. You could put that on DVR and people would pay for good money, on pay-per-view, and people would pay good money to watch
it. It takes one fucked up thing to ruin your life. Yeah. On the internet, because nothing dies.
I mean, no, I meant it in the point that it's just we watched Logan Paul and that and KSI slap each other.
I thought you were talking about the Japan.
The suicide part.
I thought you were talking about Japan.
No. I will never.
People watch that.
People still watch that.
Video had 2 million, 3 million views.
And you just know that there's a mirror of it somewhere that people still watch. I'm just saying, if we're willing to watch Logan Paul and KSI slap each other in the head till they give each other a concussion, right? On pay per view. We would sure as hell watch a politician fuck a pig.
Walmart. Right? I didn't watch that fight, but I remember just watching the press conference and all Jake Paul was doing, which Walmart.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because
so annoying.
Because he was dissing him. Because
he was calling him Walmart.
He was saying he got all his fit from Walmart.
Yeah.
So he just basically called him Walmart.
He just kept yelling Walmart, which did nothing.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. And anyways. And to kind of iterate on what you said about being able to just not deal with a problem, is that like the block feature featured in White Christmas and other episodes, just like I feel like that's the running theme, right? It's that somewhere technology was put above human decency. Mm-hmm. And you use technology to figure out your problems, it's that you won't solve your problems, you'll just do away with them, right?
It's very strongly a theme of that show,
right?
Yes,
right.
Rachel, do you want to take us away?
Yes. So with that being said, that takes us into our second segment, the hot seat, where our guest Adrian will have the chance to talk about any film topic they so desire. And we will just have to take it.
The floor is yours, sir.
Oh, thank you. I put a lot of serious thought into this question, simply because, like you said, it is your first episode. And while originally you guys approached me with talking about
Animal.
My my to put out like a hot like a just a love letter to Japanese cinema, I have decided to take it a different route, because
you're not Japanese.
Stop. I am not a weeb. I'm putting it out on the record.
You're a respectable otaku, okay?
Contrary to popular belief, right? I am not a weeb. But it did make me think about what I enjoy about Japanese cinema so much, is that, or anime in particular, is I believe that film, a good film, right, should bring something to its audience that is unique, that can only be expressed through film, not through music or paintings or, like, I want to say art, but that's not the appropriate word, any other medium, I should say. So I kind of wanted to put out there for discussion, what is it that you believe makes film unique?
Do you want to take it away, Rachel?
Getting deep. Okay.
In the fields, right?
In
a non-pretentious way, I should add.
Oh, come on.
He's called out like a majority of like the film club.
Yeah.
Like, you're calling me out right now. Like, I am sadly pretentious. I wish I wasn't.
And then
for me, I can get it more into it, I guess, because it's visual.
Mm.
Like, I like music, obviously, but I can't see music unless I'm on.
You're not Kanye West. You don't have that fucking thing where you can see music.
I don't have colors. That vision.
I know what you're talking about. The like
euphoriphasia, whatever.
Something
the fuck.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's like,
for the record, that does seem super cool, and it's something I kind of want to dip
and
my toe.
And actual people do have it. I don't know if Kanye does, because apparently Kanye has everything.
I mean, Kanye is God.
That is true.
No, it's not. But
I don't know. For me, I guess I'm going to have to do this anyways. Perks of Being a Wallflower is my favorite movie of all time.
Right. I was going to bring up my favorite movie too.
Yes,
so
that goes into it for me. Like, I know to a lot of people that movie means a lot. And I know it went through the Tumblr shoot and became Tumblr bait for a lot of people. And it got a lot of crap for that. But I saw it years after the film came out. I read the book, obviously, like 15 years after that released. And for me, it's more than just like an understanding. It's like I've changed a lot since I first read the novel and since I first saw the film. But, you know, deep down, I'm still roughly the same. So for me, I see way too much of myself in Charlie, the main character. Like, I almost 100% see like myself in that. Minus obviously the specifics, because I don't have that life. I'm not walking in his shoes. Mm-hmm. But like personality wise, there's too much of me that I see in there where I can relate to it on not just on a personal level, but like a deeply, deeply to my core personal level.
Yeah.
And for me, that makes it unique, because I kind of got that feeling from the book, but not exactly. You know, it was seeing it on screen with Logan Lerman like yeah. perfecting that role that it's, like really gave me that connection.
Yeah, film is beautiful when it captures the like while our eyes are not the most developed parts of ourselves, it is literally the majority of our visceral experience, like our conscious experience in the world yeah. is we experience it through color and our eyes and what we see. And when a movie comes together and like captures that visuality of how we perceive things and see them and makes it something that is tangible, that's touchable, that you can reach out and like feel it. Plus also like a phenomenal, like a good performance that captures not what that person is, but what that personality trait is, what that combination of personalities can bring out in a person. All of those come together in a way that like less than theater or books or any yeah. other medium, except maybe but
for,
video
for
games.
For me, it was still, you know, like if I didn't have, I still believe that like having both the book and the movie contributed to that. If I didn't have one, I wouldn't feel the same.
You need the context, of
I need
course.
Both of them, right. but it's the film really tied it together. Like I still felt that connection reading the novel because I read it first, of course. Mm-hmm. But once I saw that played out, I was like, that's me. That's me right freaking there. That's my personality. And yeah, I've changed. I've opened up a lot more. But deep down, when I see myself, you know, the part of me that I don't showcase, I still feel that. Like, I still see that connection.
Right.
And, like, it could be argued that's a little bit pretentious that Stephen Chbosky chose to write and direct his own novel. But I feel like if it had been any other way, it would not have turned out as good as it did. Like, to me, that is the most perfect film adaptation of a novel I have ever seen.
The egotist creative is a trope and a theory that exists, and in most cases, it can be attributed to being true. It's why you find people like Orson Welles and stuff like that being in their own movies, Woody Allen, stuff like that. I don't know why I keep mentioning Woody Allen today. Like, I genuinely dislike the human being.
See, I really thought you were going to say Tarantino, and that would be a discussion on its own.
Well, that's the problem. Yes. Like, when Spike Lee or Quentin or any of those people interject themselves into a movie, it becomes a vanity project, and right. it takes away from the general experience. But if you're going to be like Bo Burnham,
yeah,
and direct a film while you come from a completely different field of entertainment, but not be a part of it whatsoever, and engage with that in that way, that is like selflessness in your creative egotism. Wow, I went full on pretentious there.
It's okay.
Film to me, mm-hmm. and this is not pretentious, this is exceptionally like personal, and it's very hard. I have not allowed myself to have the easiest life in the world. I've put myself in situations that are extremely not the best in the world. I would not recommend it for anyone. And whenever I had a down moment, whenever I was recovering from something, whenever I was doing something to relax or keep myself sane, the experience always went back to film. Entertainment and media in general, but it was always film. Film is an exceptionally like therapeutic thing for me. It's not really much the while I understand this, it's not the relatability, and it's not like my favorite movie or my favorite director or anything. It is that release of the self. It's like I'm literally letting it all the fuck out of my being by expressing it somewhere else that then others can fucking enjoy. That's mind-blowing. Like, you have to imagine, like, someone like Martin Scorsese or any of those fuckers that we hail as amazing or incredible, like, putting out a vision that is solely yours, that is solely invented by yourself, and then you put it out there and millions of people go out and watch it and enjoy it and don't even get all of the parts of it, but they get some parts of it. That's incredible. That is literally the quintessential, like, humans as social creatures type of fucking thing.
Yeah.
We want to, even if we don't relate to the experience, we at least want to sympathize with the experience that we're watching. And nothing in the entire world creates that experience like art.
Right.
Nothing feels better than just, like, letting go of your shit for a couple of hours and entering another world. Even if it's in the present, in this universe, it's still in a different world.
Yeah. Right. It's absolutely beautiful.
Right. And to kind of like encapsulate all, like, I feel like what
We still have 10 minutes in this, so we can still like talk about it.
Sweet. I can have my soapbox moment. Okay. Yeah. So for some context, and I'm going to shout out another UH club that I think is an absolute joy to be in. I started thinking about this because I recently went on a trip with the University of Houston's photography club. Actually, just kidding. Their name is Photography Club at the University of Houston. I recently went on a trip to with them, and in the car while we were carpooling, a friend of mine asked me, "What is it that you like about film?" Because he was saying that he loves The Godfather and other films that he feels like he can really just like immerse himself in that world. And he asked me, like, why do you like the movies that you like, right? And it was a question that I really had to think about, because I've never been sure of never been sure why I like the movies I do. There's just sometimes it's just you walk out of a movie and you just believe that like, yep, that movie is going to be a movie that I'm going to revisit several times. Dear people who don't rewatch movies, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. And so it was really over the course of the hour-long drive to Galveston, a kind of exploration of why I think these movies are worth watching for everyone, and why they happen to be Japanese anime. They happen to be.
Right. Coincidentally, the greatest endeavor in arts is an anime.
Well, and full disclosure, I am not Japanese.
Really?
Wow. I have no authority on this cinema. I don't study it, right? So just full authority. So take my opinion for what it's worth.
Nothing, basically.
Exactly. And when I really thought about it, why my movie, my favorite movie, Your Name, or Kimi no Na wa by Makoto Shinkai, is my
sexy. Hit me with them. Hit me with that.
Bust out that Japanese. Oh.
Just, I'm not Japanese, but here's my just drop that hefty.
Why it's my favorite movie is because I believe that good film offers an experience that you, like I said, you can't find in any other medium. And anyone who is familiar with Your Name knows why you cannot put that into live action, like why you can't have that as a book or a song or a theater even.
At
right?
Disney.
Right?
And that's the thesis.
And that is because you step into the mind of its creator, right? Makoto Shinkai truly put a painting down into in a movie, right? And there's a particular sequence that absolutely blew my mind, in which I thought to myself, there is no way you can do this with anything but animation. Mm-hmm. Right? So what my ultimate answer was to my friend that asked me, like, why do you like those movies, and is that animation is just a sort of you can put it down, and it's not gonna make a noise.
So visually, what is happening is Rachel is trying
up my phone, and the pen moved, and it made a noise, and I freaked out.
So, like, there's something that you did with animation that cannot be done anywhere else, right? And this can be translated into anything else, right? Like Star Wars, for example. I don't think you can. I know. I'm so sorry, AK.
My life just keeps coming back to that fucking franchise.
Like Star Wars, for example. Sure, there's novelizations of them, mm-hmm. but how are you going to capture the spectacle of the Battle of the Death Star? and anything but film or television. In that, in that
anything, I can't relate. I have known nothing about what you're talking about. I'm just here.
But for example, in Blade Runner 2049, or Blade Runner, right? How are you going to build the world around Los Angeles and 2049, I guess.
The fucking holographic fucking billboards. You could never get that out of it's film. That's film.
Exactly.
Gets you that.
Until Elon Musk does it.
And, oh my God.
And so like.
This is not my other podcast, so I just can't start shitting on Elon Musk immediately.
And that made me like. And I think that's what ultimately brought me to liking films like Paprika, for example, like a movie that is a absolute fever dream in some cases, literally, or even something like Spirited Away, something rather mainstream.
It's so dirty. It's so mainstream.
That means I won't watch it. Yeah. No, but
those people. Spirited Away is a fantastic fucking visualization of childhood.
Absolutely.
Like, get the fuck out of my face with that mainstream shit. Like, it's not his best movie. Fuck you. It whatever.
For the record, it is not his best movie.
But
even his best movie, Princess...
It's his most digestible movie that also has a poignant message.
Okay. But like... I'm not going to get into this argument, but... even something like Princess Mononoke, it's like that does not translate to any other medium, even within like film. It does not translate to live action well. I've seen live action like adaptations of anime. It's a joke.
I mean, without criticizing Japan itself, Japanese live action cinema has been so lacking since the big three died like 3-4 decades ago. Like the Kurosawa crew, when they all fucking went away, like Japanese cinema kind of fell by the wayside.
Sure.
Except for 13 Assassins.
But even like
it's amazing.
But
the literally the furthest I go into foreign film is France. So I'm just gonna sit here and let y'all discuss.
but even when
I know nothing.
But even when it's a Western production,
Django Unchained is based on a Japanese film called Django. Like the original movie is a Japanese. It's about a Japanese samurai. It's phenomenal. Your Jumbo is also fantastic. Great samurai movies.
But even when it's a Western production, I know it's an easy target, but the Netflix adaptation of Death Note is a joke. And it's because I feel like it does not capture what the anime did.
So I was having this conversation in our group chat for Film Club, and I think personally that V for Vendetta is Alan Moore adaptation's best film. Like, it's the best adapted film of an Alan Moore work.
Yeah.
And the simple reason is, what holds muster with that film is that it borrows a lot from that series, from that book, but it is wholly original in its own self, in its message and what it's trying to deliver. And if Death Note even was trying to go that for that, but like, this is, sounds really pretentious, but that movie genuinely has no artistic integrity whatsoever. And what I mean by integrity, it's like, it's a house and it has no foundation. So the fucking pillars on the sides are like crumbling because they're carrying so much of the weight of the house.
So how they build in Houston?
Well, when you build in an area that's supposed to be a swamp.
I guess this is the meta podcast within the podcast, is the let's shit on fucking Houston civil engineering.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
If I could go off on why we shouldn't be living here.
We have a minute, so go ahead.
No, it's okay. Just watch Before the Flood. It's not about Houston, but it's about the ice caps melting. I'm pretty sure it was. I don't remember. It was like 2 years ago, but... Basically, it's about climate change and how we're all going to be drowning, especially Houston. Made by, you know, my man's Leonardo DiCaprio. So
I mean,
oh really?
Yes, he freaks out about narwhals in it. Like it's like how I freak out about squirrels, and it's the greatest thing. It's like all these narwhals are like swimming and purring, and he's like, "Oh my God!"
but yeah, to kind of like to kind of put a bow on it, right? I feel like that's I feel like that, where like film needs to bring something like a unique representation, is going to piss off. Well, first, it's going to piss off my philosophy and the arts professor. And second, I think it encapsulates.
Beef. Shasta goes to the movies. Beef.
Like, here's the motherfucking tea.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Bobby Sue. You were a great professor. But
name dropping out here. Oh, these names just falling out your pocket.
She's awesome, and she was our
world star.
She's awesome, and she was our advisor for our first academic year. She's great, but I think it really does encapsulate that that what we all get in film, unique worlds, right? Characters that can really be brought to life, and at least for me, a visual and auditory experience.
Can
you can't
I add
find anywhere.
One more thing to that before we pass on?
Not
I
at
believe
all.
That film in a 2 hour, in a max 2 to 3 hour span, can capture an allegorical message, like can capture a message, a vision, a metaphor, and visualize it on such a visceral stage that there are few things in the world that can explain.
Yeah.
The heaviest and the lightest of issues, like fucking pickup artist, like fucking one night stands, all the way to like fucking racism in Ferguson and Flint, Michigan, right? All the way, like the entire spectrum. Nothing captures it so viscerally where you can see it. Like Black Klansman, for instance, like that entire movie is an allegory for the time we literally live in right now. And then at the end of it, Spike Lee's like, fuck you, you're not gonna walk out of this movie with your own decision. I'm gonna show you what the outcome of all of this is.
Right.
Black Klansman?
Black Klansman.
At Amy.
Yeah. So there's nothing that captures that in that amount of time that you could leave, and potentially in an ideal film, can walk away with a fully formed understanding of an idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Not the nuances, but an understanding of a particular idea more than you could with film.
And I do love that about Black Klansman, how they added, like, it was very last minute, I read. Like, he did not, it wasn't in the original.
It caught me completely off guard.
It caught me off guard, and it was very unsettling, and I loved it.
I was on a date, and like my date turns around, and like they're drinking, and like I am sobbing, I am crying, because like the ending was like such an effective.
Right. Yes. But that's it, right? It's that like this video and audio is just combined to move me, and that's unique. But
yeah.
Now I know we need to wrap up, so I'm gonna shut up.
And with that, since we're already recommending stuff, I would like to invite you. I can't English.
Enjoy.
Like English. Invite the audience into Kook's Rex, basically.
Yeah.
Just 20 minutes of us talking about the things we welcome like and telling Kook you that you should watch them.
Yeah. Welcome to the Kook's Rec Room.
This is not the Rec Center.
Yeah, welcome.
I really like that, actually.
This is a recreation.
Welcome to the Rec Center, a place I will never visit otherwise.
This is a recreation center in which we recommend.
We're on the treadmills right now.
Yeah. This is why we're
You'll never catch me
heavy.
On a treadmill.
It's not because the AC in my studio seems to be broken. It's just
it feels like we're in the rec.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go ahead and start, actually.
Yes.
Okay.
Our illustrious guest.
I am going to start with the movie I already recommended.
Oh my God.
Yes, because it's a movie everyone should watch and will instantly get what I'm talking about. Your Name, Kimi no Na wa by Makoto Shinkai.
Call Me by Your Name?
Oh, shit.
See, my
don't
my
recommend that movie.
My roommate,
do not.
It's fantastic.
My
it's a good movie, but you know.
My roommate hates
an adult
that
with
movie.
A minor.
I my
sure, roommate, but like. Whatever.
I feel bad, like, because of that whole thing. Like, I did.
I just accidentally opened the fridge.
I did not, like, think about that whole dynamic at first with, like, the age thing. And then once it was brought up and, like, Twitter went off, I was like, oh, shit, I have a sticker for this movie on my computer. I put it on the bottom of my computer.
I can still sit here.
It's a good movie, but, like.
I can sit here.
I don't
want to
get called
hour.
Out in public.
I can sit here for a complete hour explaining. Why, in the context of that film and that book specifically.
Another hour?
Yeah, but like, we're not going to get into it. But like, Timothy, Chalamet did a great job.
Yeah.
And I appreciate him for doing such a great job. And Armie Hammer was fantastic. Anyways, continue.
Anyways, your name, not that. Your name is an absolutely fantastic love story. It
sounds like Call Me by Your Name. Still sounds like Call Jesus. Me by Your Name.
It's
animated though. That's the big difference.
Oh my god, AK. No. I'm just like I every time I'm like, what's your favorite movie? Your name is like, oh, Call Me by Your Name. I'm like, no. But and I hate that it's just we're confusing people even more. But Your Name is an absolutely fantastic love story that takes science fiction and kind of doesn't it's hard for someone to bite at first. It's hard just because of that sci-fi element. But it's just, it moves you to tears by the end. I couldn't really think of exactly how I could illustrate it. It just moves you to tears by the end because the animation is absolutely amazing. It's top tier. Voice performances, both in English and in Japanese. I watched it both several times. Is just everyone's bringing their A game. It fires on all cylinders by the end, and it's an absolutely 10 out of 10 movie. Recommend to everyone, even my mom, and I know she's listening. Sat through that movie and. It takes an act of God to make her sit through anime. So, if she can do it, anyone can.
Hey, man. King Kong, the 2005 one, made me cry at the end of it. So, anything can make me fucking cry at this point.
You bring the tissues because Your Name is a ride.
Oh, like watching Fullmetal Alchemist, and I know this is cliche, but watching Fullmetal Alchemist, like every episode, by the time we were wrapping up the ending of that show, like, every episode at the end, like, my friends had to stop watching because I'm, like, getting through the sobbing. I cry at every moment. I have no shame in saying that.
Brotherhood or?
Brotherhood, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I have no shame in saying that I cry profusely at pretty much any emotional moment in a film.
To turn in my non-existent weeb license, I have not watched Full Metal Alchemist. I know.
Wow.
I know.
That's a shocker.
I've watched half an episode of Food Wars.
I like Food Wars.
And My Neighbor Totoro, so there you go.
Food Wars, while extremely sexist.
My anime experience.
Food Wars is an interesting one.
It's interesting.
While it's very sexist, it is quite
watching a woman orgasm over rice.
Yeah, it's
yes. Like, God, I want that rice. Like
some damn good rice.
Yes.
Well, Rachel, your recommendation?
Oh, shit. I'm going to save my big one, which is probably the most obvious one.
We all know.
For a later episode that we have planned in mm-hmm. July. But I'm going to start by saying Booksmart.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Very good movie.
I really enjoyed that movie.
Yes. I can't relate to it because I was like very in the middle in high school. I wasn't super smart, but I wasn't a dumbass. I literally graduated in the middle of my class. So, but it is relatable in a way. I think it definitely underperformed like mainstream wise.
Absolutely.
But it performed like on par for Annapurna. And
it's going to get nominated for best screenplay.
Yes. Yeah. And I do believe it's on its way to cult status.
Definitely.
It's very good.
Ooh, MacGruber levels cult status? No. Or like, what are we talking about here? Like Eternal Sunshine?
I guess.
Yeah. Requiem for a Dream? Right there?
When I think cult, my mind immediately goes to Tim Curry. So don't.
I think.
Which one? Which Tim Curry?
Like both.
Okay.
Funny thing is,
Clue and Rocky Horror.
Funny thing is, I wouldn't even say that.
I would also add. I'm sorry, but no, I would add Muppets Pirate Island in there. His performance as John Silver is phenomenal.
Maybe it.
There.
I.
Yeah,
could
that
it
was
be
a
considered
TV,
cult,
yeah,
even though
so.
It was a TV movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
Any Tim Curry movie is a
any
cult
Tim
movie.
Curry movie or game that he's been in.
He's so underrated, though.
He is. He's eternally underrated.
You know, it's funny because I don't even think its screenwriting is it's phenomenal. But it's not even its best part. I think Olivia Wilde's directing definitely sold that movie to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She definitely made a better movie than Bradley Cooper did. 100%. As like an actor transitioning into directing,
yeah,
she 100% nailed it much more than Bradley.
And she nailed the whole including your spouse thing exactly. with Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that I really couldn't even enjoy that movie to its fullest, because in the theater, in a particular scene, some guy in the theater sitting in the row in front of me goes, just coughs just and
for
like,
context, without spoiling, there is a somewhat raunchy lesbian sex scene.
Yes. And the
but it doesn't go full sex.
And this guy like
of supposed full, minors.
And
right?
Yeah. Not actual minors, supposed.
Supposed.
Portrayed yeah. minors, yeah.
I think they're 18 in the movie. They never explicitly say, but I think
they're high
they
school
are.
Seniors, so yeah, 18.
17, 18.
Yeah. 17, 18.
And it's, so yeah.
Texas,
I can't even,
that's legal.
Yeah.
Jesus
Romeo
Christ.
And Juliet laws.
Oh, what the, okay.
It's fucked up. It's pretty fucked up, my dude.
Anyways.
Come on, Never Good Enough, if you want to hear some more this more fucked up shit.
It would be great if it was actually called the Romeo and Juliet Law.
That's what they call it. I don't know what it's actually
if
called.
If that was the actual name, I would...
I will look it up and
that
find
would be amazing.
Notwithstanding pedophiles, there's a... Like,
in Las Vegas.
I've been thinking about Verona a lot.
Oh my god, we are not getting to.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We are not
speaking
getting
of
into
Romeo and Juliet. I've been thinking about Verona lately. Like, I want to go there right now.
We are not getting into age of consent laws, but
I love the two separate conversations.
I know. I'm just like, I'm in my head with like Leo and what's her name, and he's all.
But notwithstanding that, it's an absolutely phenomenal movie. That it's a shame that it's
sorry.
Not quite
Claire Danes. I'm sorry. I'm still hung up on Romeo and Juliet. Her name is Claire Danes. I don't want to end on saying what's her name, but
but yeah,
it's very good.
It's phenomenal. Okay.
So I'm going to separate. Well, not actually. It is a Western movie and it is also an animated film, so it's kind of combining both. This is kind of mainstream because it is a Disney movie. I recently rewatched Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
It is a Western? Yeah, it's a Disney movie.
Oh, no, a Western?
Like a Western anime.
A Western.
Oh, Western. Like, I thought you meant like a Western as in like... Yeah, I thought you meant like Western as in like cowboys.
No, 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 no.
That was... Hey, wait.
No, it is by far my favorite traditionally animated Disney film.
Okay.
Like,
isn't
ever.
It the last one they did?
Yes. Like that? It was the one that killed it because no one went and saw it.
God.
It's
a shame.
It is a beautiful take on a really fucking simple, stupid-ass story, a fairy tale. And the way it makes a fairy tale more modernized for a minority subset of the population, it is breathtaking in the way that it does not say that hard work will get you there or that love or like passion will get you there. It is a combination of all of the things that we do with the possibility of like someone being there. Just if people were good.
Right.
It's a very simple story.
If people weren't pieces of shit.
Exactly.
100% of the time.
Yes. And that...
You and I have very different outlooks on humanity, but...
humanity in general... Like, okay, so this is a side note, but this week I've had summer classes every day, and it is extremely difficult to be human and be a part of humanity for that many days.
Yeah.
I usually have 2 days where I dedicate to classes, and then 1 day where I meet humans socially. And then I'm good with that amount of humanity. Because beyond that, I've been chippy. Like, y'all have seen me on the group chat. I've been chippy. I've been just like, fuck you. Entirely.
I have too, but for different hormonal reasons. TMI, but I mean, that's reality.
I've been looking at the group chat saying that I've missed like 100 plus messages and said, I'm not messing with that today, so I just skip all red.
but Princess and the Frog is... gorgeously animated, like hand animated, top to bottom. The motions and the movements of the character, the voice acting, that soundtrack alone. I spent an entire year just listening to that soundtrack alone. It is one of the most refreshing animated films I've ever seen in my life, like beyond like Spider-Verse or Persepolis. Like, it is in that crew, though, for me. It is... Like, it's Oprah Winfrey's best performance in a film, accounting for Color Purple. Like,
Oprah was in the movie?
Yeah, she was the mom.
Oh.
She was.
I haven't seen that movie in a hot minute.
So I saw it I saw it back in 2010 when it came out in theaters, and then I saw it recently, and it still fucking holds up. It is a gorgeous fucking movie.
I need to rewatch it, but I'm playing catch up with my childhood because I didn't remember a single thing from Aladdin, so I had to watch that on VHS recently.
You really need to watch Me Die, by the way.
I will definitely watch it.
It's on Blu-ray at Target. But
don't.
To capture the
It's a dub, and the dub is not as good. Anyways.
We have 5 minutes, so I'm going to wrap up real quick.
Real quick, though. Without explanation, this is our first episode. We got to get this out of the way. All of us, no explanation, just say your top three. All-time films.
All-time?
Oh, Jesus. Yes, I can't even.
But let me wrap this up real quick. It uses the Disney style. We all know what the Disney style is.
Yes.
The Disney style in its most fucking optimal, fucking ultimate, its fucking self final form in this bitch in a way that is like breathtaking. The breakneck speed that movie moves in, the quality of voice acting in it, that movie is 100 fucking times better than Tangled. And they spent 10 times the budget on Tangled than they did with this movie.
That 3D animation is expensive.
Huh?
3D animation is expensive.
No, that movie just took 10 years and they changed the cast and the director so many times that it didn't...
But like, Zachary budget, Levi.
Even the budget for its time was pretty large. Like the usual 3D animated Pixar movie comes at about under $100 million. It's about $80 or $70 million.
I had no clue.
That movie cost $210 million to
Jesus.
Make.
Oh my God.
Because it took 10 years to make it.
Pay off my student debt.
Please, Disney. Come in. Anyways, okay, top three, I guess.
Ah, jeez.
You want me to start since mine's, I know.
Well, no, I actually, okay. I'm trying to think of a number two. That's the problem. Oh, so shit. My number three is definitely Arrival by Then Evil New. Also, like, just a movie that you can sink your teeth into.
I hate the fact that you said his name properly, because I call him Villanueva, and now I can't.
Gross. That's not how you pronounce it. He's French. Or Canadian?
He's Canadian.
Yeah, he's Canadian French. But yeah, Arrival... absolutely phenomenal, and I think Amy Adams at her best.
Her best performance, definitely.
Her best performance, definitely.
Her best, her being herself.
Yeah.
Because that's her acting style.
Yes, definitely. And my number two, this one's so much harder. Screw it. I'm just going to say Princess Mononoke, directed by Hayao Miyazaki. It's another Studio Ghibli film.
The movie that we just cannot get in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can never screen it because it will always be a runner-up. It is a cursed film.
It was the runner-up in the runner-ups list,
I think. My God. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Just great. I think it's a better Studio Ghibli film than Spirited Away and should have gone more mainstream because of its environmental...
It's older.
Who cares?
Disney wasn't allowing movies in at the time. Spirited Away was kind of the perfect introduction.
And you know what? Next time I'm here, we are going to talk about the West and its problem with anime, but later. Princess Mononoke by Hayao Miyazaki it's a great film on its own, and it has a great message about environmentalism. And of course, my all-time favorite is Your Name, Kimi no Na wa by Makoto Shinkai, for reasons already stated. Who has a top three? Go? Because that was that required some mental gymnastics to think of.
Because mine's been set since December.
Go ahead.
My number three recently changed because I did not think it could be changed. It was previously American Psycho. And then Phil Lord and Chris Miller came out with the best animated feature of 2018. True. I argue of the decade, of the
True.
Century.
Whoa.
No, not of the century. Decade. Shrek is the better of the century.
Decade.
Into the Spider-Verse. I will let you know I am the resident spider bitch of Film Club.
That is one of the most original.
I did not think my number three could be beaten out, but then, you know.
Yeah, no, that is one of the most original, fucking innovative,
yes.
Genuine, like the real definition of the word innovative. Animated films.
And one of the best soundtracks too. That soundtrack did not have to go that hard.
And to tack on that, I don't know who did it, but I don't want to say the New York Times. But it might have been Gizmodo who put out a video on the actual technology of Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, it is futuristic.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
It's
and wild. And if you ever need more convincing that Into the Spider-Verse is beautifully animated and just, like AK said, innovative, you can watch that video or any of the content about its animation.
Anyways, my number two is a classic. I might get crap for saying this because a lot of people get shit on for saying they like this movie. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It's phenomenal.
It has been my shit since I was a kid. And I like my, I will, full disclosure, my sister's a lot older than
I'll
me.
I'll take the flack for and, you. Whoever says Rocky Horror Picture Show is not a good movie is a homophobe.
It's not that. I think people think it's just, it's gotten too mainstream.
No, I'm saying that.
I know. I think some people think it's like gotten a little bit mainstream and stuff. And I don't believe that. It's still a cult classic. It's just the best of the cult classics, I would argue.
Okay.
But no, we already said Tim Curry is a legend.
He is a legend.
Nothing. Unbeatable. Oh my God.
Undefeated. Never lost.
I'm sorry, but that remake was trash. The only good part of that reboot or remake, whatever, the only good part was the 2 seconds of Tim Curry. But no, it was directed by, Wikipedia says Jim Sharman, but I'm going to say Richard O'Brien because he created the damn thing. He did it all. You know him as the weird man in Spice World and as Riff Raff, but yeah, I don't know. I've been watching that since I was a kid, since I secretly watched it while my sister was, and it has just been my shit ever since.
And your number
that's
one?
That's about it. My number one, I already said Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. That's okay. Right.
The incredible Stephen Chbosky.
Also, I just noticed, as our resident Spider-Bitch, you're wearing a Spider-Man t-shirt.
Yes, I tie-dyed this myself.
Oh, that's actually a really good job.
It was an all-black t-shirt. I bleached it in tie-dye.
It looks low-key camo.
It's dope. My nephew helped me with that.
I don't think we can make titles like that include curse words, but I'll make sure to put it down in the paperwork that you're our resident spider person at the very least.
Yes.
Spider-Queen.
Spider-Queen.
Top three movies for me change literally depending on the day that I woke up. I don't have a definitive list. I've never had a definitive list. But currently the three easiest ones that come to mind, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Pulp Fiction, and...
Oh, no, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, 100%. One of the greatest movies ever made.
Takes me back to hot takes.
All day. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I think it is Jim Carrey's best performance, Kirsten Dunst's best performance, it is Andy Kaufman's best writing, it is the ad guy who then went on, anyways, the direction, the fucking story, the heartbreak, the trying to forget your memories. While I don't enjoy relatability, I feel like a film can stand on its own without me being relating to it. I have never related in my life to anything more than Eternal Sunshine because of the way I deal with my own memories of being a former degenerate. Pulp Fiction, it is just within its own context, it is a perfect film, achieves everything you want out of a movie. It is a classic standard case polar bearer for what you want your movie to look like. If you copy it, you're being generic, and if you are innovating on it, then you should be considered one of the top directors of your generation. My third one is a difficult one.
As you get a text.
Yeah. Let's say, I can't think
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. That's exactly what I was going to say. AK has such a vitriolic hatred for Star Wars at this point.
I'm going to give, I'll think about it and I will tease it for the next one, what my third top three is, because I can't remember. A good one off of the top of my head that actually deserves recognition.
Outro roll then?
All right. Yes. Well, thank you for joining
Fuck
us.
Fuck Star Wars for life.
Shasta Goes to the Movies is brought to you in partnership with the Film Club at the University of Houston. Film Club is an organization on campus that discusses the ins and outs of the films and the film industry. Whether you're a film aficionado or a casual moviegoer, all are welcome to join Film Club at any time during the regular school year. Opinions shared on this podcast do not reflect that of Film Club at the University of Houston, the University of Houston, or the University of Houston community as a whole. Follow us on Twitter at U of H Film Club and send any questions to the uofhfilmclub@gmail.com. Thank you to my co-host AK, our guest Adrian, and thank you to the audience for listening. We'll see you next time. So